When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Market Watch is proudly brought to you by TopSport, home of the TopSport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858. All right, we are back, people. It is round three. Can you believe it? We're at round three already in the National Rugby League. It is the Market Watch podcast. It's proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au. Our fearless leader is still away, attending to some Titans/Panthers/general business. I think we'll keep it of that nature. But the other usual suspects are here. And, of course, I'm talking about Jared Condon from readingtheplay.com.au. And, Jared, you and I, a little bit after last week, a little bit tail between our legs after we thought there was a gift for the Melbourne Storm. And I guess you got to pay credit to the way that the New Zealand Warriors played. How are you, mate?
Very well, Jimmy. Yes, 100% right. Found seven of the eight winners, but at 18-6, I think you and I are both kicking back, smoking a cigar, saying, well, here we go. And the Warriors were absolutely outstanding. And we'll touch on them a little bit later as we talk through this. But very interesting week last week, because we did discuss going into the round that the first six home favourites were very pronounced. We ended up with four favourites and four underdogs. If you went with the home sides, you found eight from eight.
Just incredible. Lunch bet, Jared, do we have an update on that?
Yes, Jimmy, I thought you'd never ask. You were all over the Rabbitohs with the plus 8.5. I was all over the Broncos at the minus 8.5. I ventured out to that game and nearly fell asleep during the first half. It was just an absolute error-a-thon, but the Broncos kicked away in the second half and covered the line, which was very good for that lunch bet table, which now has me about a 10-point margin in front of you, Jimmy. So I don't know. Can we stop the clock at this stage? But, yes, I'm at plus 5. Tristan is minus 1. Yourself at minus 5, and not sure. I think we got a message from Tristan that with the Panthers winning and the Titans having the bye, that he might have had some lunch bets around those ones, but we'll have to decide on that, put it to the judiciary next week.
If you're listening to the podcast, make sure you subscribe, write a comment, tell your mates about it too, anywhere you want to get it. Spotify, Apple, Google, YouTube, we're there, so make sure you do check it out. And we encourage you to spread it around. We love having a bit of fun with this. How much we've got there in that charity bank balance? I think it'd be up over $9,000 now, Jared.
It'll be something like that, Jimmy. It's very healthy and a big weekend, not only of rugby league, but we also have a big Golden Slipper and Group 1 racing day at Rose Hill this week, which we'll touch on in a moment. And, Jimmy, on the basis of the latest news, I mean, did you get the email this morning? Do we need to make sure that we refrain from any F-bombs or swearing on podcasts or media or anything like that?
We are doing a podcast, but we're filming it with a video. So that's going to be challenging. What sort of rights do we have here? What did you make of that? So there's a lot of layers to that, isn't there? There's the performance of the South Sydney Rabbitohs. That's all the noise that's around that. There's the Latrell Mitchell interview in the week after that he was so outspoken about the Spencer Lenu Ezra Mam racial situation. And now we've got a situation where, just to add a little bit of extra fuel on the fire for the South Sydney Rabbitohs and their coach Jason Demetrio, we've got a former player coming out and saying, well, basically Jason Demetrio used to tell me things and they didn't happen. So I tell you what, it was a big game always on Friday, but it just got a whole lot bigger, Jared.
Oh, it has, Jimmy. Yes, it has. Listen, I thought the latest handling of this whole issue since last Thursday has been very hypocritical by the NRL. It would appear that Latrell is somebody they don't want to touch. And there's already been precedents in the way that they've handled some of these other issues over recent months. Surely there should have been some sort of formal warning, if not fine. Certainly a formal letter. That's not occurred. And now we have the protection of the TV guys with the radio not allowed to record a on-field interview, but supposedly not allowed on field for up to 10 minutes after a game. I mean, there's best part of what, 30-odd players out there, Jimmy, that the radio guys can grab after the media guys. I mean, I don't think that that's a very wise ruling. Yeah, I don't know. There's just a lot of muddling of the lines and what the direction and how these sorts of things should be handled.
It's funny, having been a sideline reporter, right, and you go and grab these interviews, right? When you're the host broadcaster, which I have done with Fox Sports, you just get whoever you want, right? So that's just a given. If we think that, you know, Cooper Cronk was the best player in the match, then you go and interview Cooper Cronk or Sam Burgess or whatever, right? When you're the radio broadcaster, you realise in the pecking order where you sit, right? And you might have to liaise with someone like a Tony Chalmers who's working with either Fox or with Channel 9 and say, hey, TC, who are you grabbing? Because we need to work out if you're grabbing them, then we can grab someone else. But so there's a real hierarchy associated with that. To be honest, I'm not surprised that these broadcasters are saying, hey, the radio have paid that for the radio. We don't want, given the you know, all the platforms that we can see vision on now, I understand their point. But staying off the field for an extended period, that's what you do, right? You go, well, my first choice is this person. And if that can't get that player, we'll get this player. And if we can't get that player, we'll get this player. And that's how it works. You know, I'm not sure the listening audience is too concerned whether you speak to Sam Burgess or Cam Murray when it comes to, you know, end of game.
100% right, Jimmy. And listen, I understand the non-filming by the radio stations. That's probably a given and probably needed to be reminded. All they need to do, though, is stand on the sideline. They get the guys as they walk off. They don't have to enter the field for the next 10 minutes. I mean, we're playing semantics, but I think the bigger picture here is that there's a leading player of the game that should have been dealt with a little bit more firmly by the NRL. But, yes, those are wonderful days when you're on the sideline as a sideline eye, Jimmy. I mean, any good stories out of the Canberra Raiders and your visits down to Canberra as a sideline eye that you should be sharing? Well, actually, it's probably the wrong week for that on a podcast.
Actually, you know what? That's one of my after dinners anecdotes that I like to say for that. Safe to say that even though we were the host broadcaster, we did not get the interview with our intended target. So there you go. All right. The other one we have to talk about is the droppings, right? These halfbacks, the carnage that has taken place, most notably with Lachlan Ilias. The other one is Jackson Hastings. Jaden Sullivan is another one that's been dropped as well, and I think that's probably pretty straightforward. Sean O'Sullivan, well, not sure what's going on there, but what was your take on, and go through in that order, Ilias, Hastings, Sullivan.
Well, Jimmy, I said pre-season in the lead-in that I was against the Rabbits to make the eight this year, and I had a range of reasons. One was I just wasn't convinced that from anything I've heard or what I watched unfold last year, that everybody was going to be on the same page this year and that they could gel and make it all work. That was one of my major reasons. The other was I've been critical of Ilias at seven and his role over the last 18 months, and he's had some bright moments, but he's had some dull moments, and that combination for mine had not worked. And I don't know that all of that is his fault, and we only had to look at that game last Thursday night. His role predominantly has been as the kicker, yet he only kicked once, I think, if not twice in that game, and kept being overruled and the ball going in different directions. He certainly seems to have been on the outer. There were noises late last year that his relationship with Cody Walker wasn't all that warm and they weren't gelling very well. It doesn't surprise me that that's unfolded. There are raps on the guy that comes in, but yes, a big question mark if you've been through all of that off season and now you're making these key changes. The Hastings one, I haven't liked the form of Hastings or Gamble in the opening weeks, and I thought that one of them would certainly be dropped. I thought that Cogger would come in. I probably could have gone either way. Again, you know, Hastings has been asked to go back and play New South Wales Cup. Does he earn his way back? I guess we'll wait and see what unfolds there into the weeks to come. I certainly think there's now a nice opportunity for Cogger to cement a role, and whether Gamble ends up being the right player beside him, we'll wait and see. Yeah, elsewhere, it didn't surprise me what unfolded with Sullivan. Jimmy, I always thought that the Tigers played well overs. He has certainly a major question mark over his defence, But he looked very, very off in that game last weekend. First game up. I mean, coaches are under pressure. It's a winning business, as we know. But it is surprising that this early in the season that we're seeing your chief playmakers swapped and changed and turn over.
Who's under the most pressure in the league? We asked this question on radio. Jason Demetrio or Benji Marshall?
I think Jason Demetrio, absolutely for mine. I mean, the expectation for mine was at the West Tigers, which finished bottom two. After what I've seen at the moment, you could not get enough money on them to finish 17th.
Yeah.
And I think the expectation around the Rabbitohs is that we saw them leading the competition round 14 last year. We've talked about that before. We know how much talent is there. I think there's a lot of pressure and it's building by the week. I'm concerned about some of the selections for this week and some of the roles that are being played. And I really have reservations about whether he may be the coach of that club in the second half of this season.
Do you know what Wayne Bennett's doing next year, Jared? Is there any clarification on that? Just asking for a friend, that's all.
Yes, I think that friend might be picking the phone up in the next couple of months, Jimmy, because I'm sure Wayne wants the coach. And if there was a coach who has a great record at handling a couple of those very difficult egos and personalities at Redfern, it is Wayne.
Yeah, absolutely. That is his magic sauce, isn't it? Making all these 17 different personalities in a football side work when it comes to the 80 minutes of game day and, in fact, in between that. So it is a very interesting start to the competition. And
speaking of the same, Jimmy, I mean, some of his quotes, again, in his presser last weekend after that big win were outstanding. One was when asked about the turnaround of the hammer and how well he played and what did he put that down to. He said, well, I don't know what I put down to why he played so bad last week, and I don't really know what I put down to how well he played this week yet. In the next couple of days, the Hammer's come out and talked about the one-on-ones that he had with Wayne and how stern he was, but giving him great direction and the player responding.
So what's the difference there? So this is the really interesting point about, you know, people talk about Wayne and the legacy that he leaves at a club, and so Jason Demetrio is the latest in a long line of successes to Wayne Bennett. Wayne Bennett is not afraid to have a very direct conversation with his player. He sacked Wally Lewis. Like, you know, you got balls enough to do that at the height of his fame. I won't say the height of his playing powers, but the height of his fame, he did that. And now we've got the situation where Josh Mansell comes out and says, I couldn't get a straight answer out of the coach. And you know better than most, Jared, having with your coaching and me having been a player, you can smell bullshit a mile away.
100%, Jimmy. And listen, I was lucky enough in the first 10 years of Wayne's coaching career, and the first one was the year prior to he going to the Raiders to do week-long coaching camps, which were 7 days long and a number of others that were 3 or 4 days long with Wayne and numerous other players. I've never seen a coach be able to speak to young men the way that Wayne could and absolutely get their attention and create focus and motivation. He has a special way of how he does that. And clearly that's been the bread and butter of his elite coaching career. And you know, you only look back at Flegler. Flegler said late last season, I got one phone call from Wayne. We didn't even talk about contract length, money, anything like that. Wayne just said, I'd like you to come and play here. And he said, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd already played under him in the lower grades and coming through at the Broncos. He has an amazing power of being able to communicate with players.
So Jack Gibson had it. I was very fortunate when I was 20 years of age. Jack Gibson came in as the general manager of rugby league, probably the first in the league. Mark Murray was the coach back in the Roosters, and I was playing in the under-21s. And I know Jack had his reputation, and I was a very young player. But everyone hung on every word, and he was very, very economical with his words. But everything that he said was taken on board by each and every player. Like just an amazing capacity to be able to communicate in that fashion.
Well, Peter Sterling tells a story, Jimmy, of their first ever premiership win, that where, you know, if you were the coach under pressure to try and get the Eels to that first ever win and you're leading at half time and you walk into the sheds, I mean, so many coaches would have too much to say, talk to too many people and the like. Jack waited for minutes, till he walked in. Then he walked in and he had that big old duffel coat that he had on, and he had his hands in his pocket. And Sterlo tells a story. He walked in, and as he walked through the door, there was absolute silence descended on the dressing room. He slowly walked a circle around the group. Everybody's just waiting for his words. And then he stopped and turned and he said, "They're short on the short side." And then he left the room.
Yeah. He also did forget to pick up Judy, his wife, and the kids one time. He got in the car on the morning of a grand final and started driving to Mass, and there was no one in the back of the car. He was so engaged in the game. And then he went, "Oh, hang on, I've got to go back." Judy Gibson used to tell that story. So,
I think very quickly, let's finish on this one. You tell a great story of your early days when Jack was coach, and you walked up to him after a number of weeks and said, "Yeah, Jack, I'm going all right. What about you said, you know, if I was going really well, there might be some more money on the table and maybe an extension."
And he said, "What are you on now, kid?" I said, "I'm on $10,000, Jack." And he said, "We're not going to take anything off you." That was the end of the negotiation. I rang back to the group going, how did that go? How have I ended up there?
But, and there's anyway. No comeback, is there? They just leave you.
No, and yet, it all worked out. I got myself a contract for the next 2 years, you know, like that. It all worked out. All right, we've enjoyed that. Not as much as those North Sydney Bears Mad Monday stories that we literally were talking about prior to coming on the podcast, but we've enjoyed them, no doubt. Let's get into round three, Jared, because we've got a cracker on Thursday night. It's got the Penrith Panthers up against the Brisbane Broncos. It's not a rematch. It's not a replay. It's round three. Fisher Harris out. Lindsay Smith in for Moses Leota. Dane Laurie at 14. Sonny Luke at 18th man. That's interesting. Matt Eisenhuth into the bench. So no Adam Reynolds. Jock Madden into the side. Payne Haas has been ruled out due to those ongoing knee problems. So Fletcher Baker. We've got a couple of huge outs for this one. How do you see it, Jared? I'll look at the market for us too. $1.25 the Panthers at home, $3.90 the head-to-head at topsport.com.au. The line, 10.5.
Jimmy, I'm very surprised it's still 10.5. I'm certainly north of 12, if not higher. And this is a game where, how's it go? Don't mention the grand final. Look at that Broncos lineup and we do go back to the grand final, clearly they're missing Reynolds, they're missing Haas. They have to be the two most plus Walsh instrumental guys in this team. But out of that grand final side, we're still then missing Farnworth, Flegler, Kate Wall, and a capable front rower off the bench. That is a big dent in this team. Then going down to Penrith Park, I know they won their round one last year, but with a much, much stronger side. And let's not forget that both Haas and, in particular, Reynolds had an outstanding game in round one when they did win at Penrith Park. Panthers, I thought, went up a gear after halftime last week. 126-18 against the Eels. Their record at home is outstanding. 22 of the last 32 games at home, they have covered the line. What's even more a standout is that when they are home favourites of 6.5 or higher, they have a 70% record of covering the line. I think 10.5 is very generous. I think Penrith do this and do it very strongly. I thought they were building in that second half. I think they win 13-plus, Jimmy, by 14 or more, the Panthers.
I think they left points out there against Parramatta, didn't they? And one thing we have seen with no Flegler this year is that the punch in the middle of the field with Haas and Carrigan is negated, especially when they go off the field. And now there's no Haas. So pressure on Xavier Willison and co. to get that job done. I'm with you at the minus 10. Let's go to the Warriors and the Raiders on Friday night. This is down in Christchurch, Apollo Projects Stadium. And they've got some changes on the back of this one. Wade Egan is going to look to start. Chanel Harris-Tavita included in a wider squad should he be ruled out. And still no Murata Niokora and Chance Nickel-Klukstar. Elliot Whitehead back. That means Zach Hosking is bumped to the bench. Adam Oriati is out of the 17. Seb Chris is out with concussion. So Nick Kotrich comes in and Albert Hopewadi will be into the centres. The market on this one has the 0-2 Warriors at $1.39 and the 2-0 Raiders at $3. And the line is 7. The overs and unders, 42.5, Jared.
Very interesting mirror, isn't it, Jimmy? Because we've got a pronounced favourite at 0-2 and a pronounced underdog in the Raiders on the road over to Christchurch at 2-0. Also missing Horsburgh. So, yeah, credit to Ricky. I think what he's done through these opening weeks has been all about a very clever yet simple game plan. It's field position. It's a long kicking game. It's hold the football. It's sweat off their errors. Listen, I think we'll look back in weeks to come and say that the form line through the Tigers and potentially the Knights might not well stack up that strongly. I'm very impressed with, again, the coach of the Warriors, Jimmy. He is such a sharp individual. He had that team so well prepared for that game into Melbourne last week. They're playing with aggression on both sides of the footy. When they defend, they are doing something that the old Ricky Stewart Roosters used to do, and that is play off their line with a line speed that is so quick. Very, very well organised with what they're doing with the football. We saw your friend in the number seven, I think, play very well last week and lead them yes. in Johnson. But they had stars all over the park. They're just such a good football team with Egan back. I know the game's in Christchurch. I suspect in the next couple of weeks, and it may well be this week, starting Friday night, that the Warriors are going to give somebody a bit of a bath. I'm with the Warriors by 10. I'm very keen that they've got some good football in front of them. I think the form out of that game last week is top four, and I think they're a good team.
Okay. All right. Yeah, interesting. They're good players, did play well. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck played well in that game against the Melbourne Storm also. And Egan is such a key in. We talked about it, didn't we, last week, about what a significant out he would be. There's a lot to be admired. If you're a Raiders fan, like it looked dire during the course of the preseason about, God, who's going to play here and who's going to play here. But if you bring your best effort every week, which they have done for 2 weeks, then you can certainly make an impact still, which is good, right? Even in this professional sport and all this science and all that, you bring effort, you'll make some inroads. I actually don't mind them at the plus 7.5, the Raiders. I think they can. The one thing about it, good news for the Warriors too, Luke Metcalf re-signing. So that often gives you an internal boost. I think he's a very talented player, Metcalf. But I'll go the plus 7.5. All right, this is a blockbuster on Friday night out there at Allianz Stadium, and I'm looking forward to getting out there. Luke Keary out, Sandon Smith in, Siwa Wong drop, Nat Butcher into the starting side, Angus Crichton in to play his first NRL game of the year. It's his 100th in his career. Connor Watson back in jersey number 14, and well done, Jared Waria-Hargreaves, his 300th NRL game. For the Rabbitohs, of course, significant change there. Dean Hawkins in for Lachlan Ilias. Jack Whiten in. Isaiah Tass is the other centre. Richie Kenner is out. Davey Mowale in the starting side. Sean Kepi back to the bench. Jacob Host in for Shaq Mitchell. So wholesale changes at South Sydney for a game that they've got an 8-day turnaround, Jared, compared to a 5-day turnaround for the Roosters. Despite that, $1.62 favourite, the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, $2.30. The line is 3.5, and the overs and unders, 39.5.
Jimmy, the market's been all over the place here because it started the week at the Roosters minus 2.5, came back to 1.5, and then in the last 24 hours, then pushed back out to 3.5 between them. The pluses I like for the Roosters is that they're at Moore Park, where their record at the new Allianz Stadium is outstanding. They also come off back-to-back away returning home, which is a very good indicator for them. But I just don't like the fact that they're off a 5-day turnaround into the Rabbitohs and have the benefit of that 8-day turnaround. But with the Rabbitohs, I just don't like the look and the formation of this back row, Jimmy, because my mail is that Host is training on the right edge and he will be beside Hawkins. I would have thought with Hawkins' first game up, Big Kean is much better suited to that right edge and partnering the young rookie. So that worries me. I think that leaves them a little bit underdone. The big question mark is, is this the week that the Rabbitohs bounce? And, you know, is this where their attitude's right? Whiten in has got to be a plus. But they need Cody to stand up. They certainly need Latrell to be much, much better. Jimmy, watching the game live last week, there were moments where he was lazy. He just wasn't attacking the ball or attacking the game. You know, I love his ability. I love him as a player, but he just needs to be far more a leader for the Rabbitohs. Very tricky game. I thought the Roosters were very, very clunky. I thought they should have lost by a bigger margin against the Eagles of Brookvale. I thought that the Eagles left at least three tries out there, and we would have had probably more talk and focus around where are the Roosters at the present moment. Great matchup always. Roosters at home. I like them there. Just a small lean. I just want to wait and see. Do the Rabbitohs bounce?
Interesting around Latrell Mitchell. And I said this on air, like he was the best player for the Rabbitohs and the most influential. Now, he's not Dylan Edwards or he's not Clint Gutherson, but some of those passes that he threw just to get them out of trouble, just to get them down the field, like he just does things that no one else can do. I still think there's more to his talent to give, and who's going to unlock that? Well, you know, we're leaving it late, aren't we? But, you know, he's such an influential part of that side. The one, just on that point you made about Kean Kalamatangi, I've been so underwhelmed by him. Now, I'm watching him very closely because he's in my super coach side. You know, the shift to the left, there was a play there last week, Jared, where Adam Reynolds, he was running at Adam Reynolds, and Adam Reynolds wrapped him up and threw him to the ground. And I'm like, yep. No, you're the powerful forward. Yep. What's going on here?
I agree, Jimmy.
I don't know what's going on there. So anyway, maybe Jacob Host is at more of a calming influence around Dean Hawkins. Although the way I've seen Dean Hawkins play, he doesn't need calmness. That's actually one of his strongest attributes. Really organising halfback. I'll go the Roosters -3.5, and I'll say that with zero confidence.
And Jimmy, the other thing I noticed last week is I think that they are one big man short in their roster this year because Tom Burgess came off the bench at about the 18-minute mark last week. Absolutely made an impression on the game. Mm-hmm. Yet, you know, they're only getting the best part of about 20 minutes and now in his latter years seem to be rotating him through that middle stage of the game. I think for their best football, they either need him starting, but they also need another one like him because the other guys for mine are not dominating or hurting through the middle.
Yeah, so Kepi's been a little bit underwhelming. Talis Duncan's more of an edge player and Saliva Havili is, like, he's a dummy half. He's a... You know, he's a third run, not a first or second run. So, yeah, that they might be a little short there. That might be a change. I'm just looking at who's on their bench. Shaq Mitchell,
Well, and okay. Jimmy, it was the guy that we didn't expect in Havili that actually straightened them up and gave them forward yardage last week that turned the game straight out to half time with those two tries.
I wouldn't mind telling him, hey, Saliva, just go out there and take someone with you the whole time. Every time. And even if you don't pass it, because you've shown that you've passed it, they're all watching that tape. So, he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's not that punch forward to supplement what Tom Burgess is doing right now. All right, let's keep going with the match on Saturday, 3 p.m. at Belmore Sports Ground. The Bulldogs taking on the Titans. This is becoming a bit of a tradition, this one. Liam Knight in, Poasa Faamasili, who was knocked out. He's out. Josh Adokar still not back from that shoulder injury. I'll just see whether he's been named. No, he hasn't been named in the extended because he did that last week. Kieran Foran back in the halves, first game of the season. Tanner Boyd is there alongside him. Tom Weaver out. Jamin Joloff to start at lock. Isaac Liu to the bench. Jaden Campbell, Dave Fifita, still on the sideline. This is getting a little bit nervy for Desi Hasler. The Bulldogs are $1. What's that? The Bulldogs are $1.80 favourite at Top Sport. The Gold Coast Titans at $2. The line is 1.5, and the overs and unders 44. Jared,
somebody gets a breakthrough win here, Jimmy, and they're both desperately looking to get off that duck egg at the present moment. Do favour the Bulldogs. I thought they were closer to the game last week than the score probably showed. I did think that their coach was probably right. They had a try taken off them, which I think Annesley has since agreed with. A couple of other key moments that I thought went against them as a rubber the green, which can happen in the game. Only really got away from them in the last 15 or 20 minutes at Shark Park. Titans very underwhelming in game one. They desperately need Foran back here and his direction. But he also needs a few passengers to come with him because they were poor at times through the middle, some of their handling on their edges, some of their key players. Their travel record is not flash. Their record at Belmore I don't think is all that good either. I'm with the Bulldogs. I think they're close to win off what we saw last week out of a stronger form line. Very interesting game. A little bit of pressure on the loser out of this week, I think, Jimmy.
They should have led 18-6, the Bulldogs, at one stage against the Sharkies. Like that's a couple of things, just, well, really significant refereeing calls go against them. Every 50-50 they lost. And as you say, correct decision around Braden Trindle and Viliami Kikau, but no one's stopping him. And even Graham Annesley came out and acknowledged that. That's so impactful on a team like this where everything has to go their way for them to win. The effort was superb, but the polish is just not there. They are starting to develop something on that left-hand side, though, aren't they? Burton, Kikau, Crichton. Let's see how that continues to develop. And still Blake Taff, still not I'm not confirmed. Well, you know, I'm not convinced of him at the back there, Jared. I'll go the Bulldogs on the head-to-head. I'll take them at the $1.80 head-to-head if you want to force me into that one. Dragons and the Cowboys on Saturday, 5:30 at Netstrata Jubilee Stadium. So this is a thud back to earth, wasn't it? Jack DeBellin into prop for Francis Molo is out. Luciano Leilua, he's into the starting side. Jesse Marski has made his going to make his NRL debut. Jacob Little is out with concussion. Viliami Fifita onto the bench. So Hame Sele still out. Haylam Luki, this was a big miss, mainly because he had him in Supercoach and he didn't get many points after going off early. Kulakefu Fini Fuiaki is into the starting side. Jack Gajewski, the new face on the bench. So how do you see this one, Jared, with the market at topsport.com.au? $2.95 the Dragons. The Cowboys $1.40. The line is 7.5 and the overs and unders is 43.5.
And Jimmy, did you notice the referee official for this game is Belinda Sharp?
Saw that.
Congratulations to Belinda. She has, I think, done a centre before, but clearly been elevated to this game. Listen, the Dragons clearly very poor last week. A lot of pats on the back off their first win. Going in against the Titans, then back up to Redcliffe. I think they had been reading the papers and listening to all the media about not being expected to aim up, then doing so and then completely dropping their bundle. The last place I would have wanted to be was sitting near or next to Mr. Flanagan on that plane trip home. Flano, as we know, would have been very cranky about what he wanted this week, and it's all about grit and effort and getting back on the rails. I thought the Cowboys were underwhelming last week. That first half was very poor. I think something like 10 errors. The Knights should have led by at least another one, if not two tries, and have gone away to sew that game up. They should never have been in a position to have then lost. I still think they've got a major issue that's going to haunt them through the season, through the middle, Jimmy. And they do need Dearden to stand up as he did, but also the best from Drinkwater. At Cogra, the Dragons will be much, much better. I think this is the upset of the round, Jimmy. I think the Dragons can sneak away with a small margin win here. I thought 7.5 for a home side at their home ground on the return back here on a loss. I think the Dragons can surprise.
So you're saying Dragons head-to-head?
Head-to-head, Jimmy.
$2.95.
Here's my upset for the weekend. I am certainly all over the plus 7.5. Too big.
Well, do you want to make it a double bunger, like a lunch bet, one lunch bet for me, but if you get the Dragons home, it's two for you?
Absolutely.
Done. Wow, the double header. Double header, two times lunch bet. I've got to send these to Tristan, of course. He struggled to make out what... note-taking capabilities were from last
Jimmy,
week.
Jimmy, I was reading your hieroglyphics and I was struggling to work it out and I'd even listen to you.
You're in the conversation, but there you go. I take your point about the Cowboys. They didn't play well last week. They acknowledged that. So that's where I'm thinking a better performance from them. And I think the Dragons, I won't say that was closer to type with that 38 points to nil lossing of the Dolphins, but we might have been misled a little previously coming out of round one. So let's stay with the Cowboys. I'll take that, the double lunch bet, just in the head-to-head. So I'm just making that note be clear as mud for Tristan. All right, let's go to the game on Saturday night. It's out at Leichhardt Oval. Please pray that it doesn't rain out there, up against the Sharkies. Justin Olam is in for Solomona Fatape. And alongside him, Stafford Toa out with that ankle injury. He's a loss. Aiden Caesar into the starting side. Jaden Sullivan to 14. Fanua Pole is starting at lock. Alex Seifarth to the interchange bench. Jack Williams into the starting side. Royce Hunt is back onto the bench. And Billy Burns is the interchange player for Tuku Hautapua, who is set to make his debut. Well, he made it last week. I thought he was excellent, actually, coming off the bench. What a handful he was. So the Tigers, $3.90. The Sharkies, $1.26. What about the plus 11.5 for the home side, Jared? And the overs and unders is 45.5.
Might not be enough, Jimmy. Saturday night at Leichhardt should be a full house, but there is a bit of forecast rain around, I think, for parts of Sydney on Friday and Saturday. So interesting watch on that. Maybe it doesn't matter. I was just incredibly disappointed with the Tigers last week. Very lucky, I thought, that they only had 32 put through them. I thought if the Raiders had been out of third gear and put their foot down in the second half, it could have been anything. Jimmy, they've got all sorts of problems in the halves, and I understand that young Lachlan Galvin shows a lot of promise, but poor fella is just going to get thrown to the wolves this year for mine. He has a lack of quality around him, in particular whoever is his partner. I'm not convinced that Caesar is all that interested. Certainly I don't think Sullivan's a first grader. Some of those signings, thank you very much. Whoever was a part of that is in mind made a serious mistake. I mean, Bateman was more about trouble and incident than he was playing football and helping his team last week. Tigers for mine, a very long season ahead. Jimmy, a very serious comment. I do wonder where their win comes from this season. I seriously think that they are in dire trouble. It looks a really weak list. They were the best part of $3.50 for the spoon weeks ago. It's now $2.50. It'll be $1.70 within the next 4 weeks. I think the Sharks got the job done last week. They're just very tradesmanlike at the moment. I thought Trindle and Hines were better. Kennedy was outstanding at the back. Yes, they missed Nick Okorah, but they've got a little bit of depth about what they're doing at the moment. Tech Wilton was outstanding on the right edge. I think the Sharks kick away here, and I think the Sharks by 14 to 18, name your own margin.
Timmy Manor, Justin Horro, and myself did the 3-2-1 coming out of that game last week. 3 points to Nicho Hines just because of his involvement. 2 points to Teague Wilton, who was absolutely superb on that left edge with the ball and without it. And we gave 1 point to Viliami Kikau. But, like, the evenness of performance, like, who didn't contribute to that victory for the Sharks? And that's got Scott Fitzgibbon written all over it, hasn't it? Yep. You know, get in there, get healthy, get fit, do your job, which is sort of what we come to expect from his side. They're a really interesting watch, the Sharkies. So professional. The variance between their best and worst performance is that, like, very small. But have they got that capacity? We'll have to wait and see. They'll do this comfortably on Saturday. Could you go at the 11.5? Minus 11.5?
Absolutely.
Yeah, same. Same. I'd be interested in that. All right, let's go. Sunday, this is a beauty. The Parramatta Eels up against the high-flying Manly Seagulls out at CommBank Stadium. So this is perfect. Morgan Harper to the wing for Bailey Simonson. Blaze Taulagi comes into the centres for his NRL debut. So well done to the young man. Luca Moretti onto the bench. Brendan Hands dropping out. Kelma Tuolungi named on the bench. Regan Campbell-Gillard, 200th NRL game. So that's a fine achievement. For the Seagulls, Tommy Talau, he's got an ankle injury. So Raymond Tuimaolo-Vaiga, we've seen him before. He is a blockbuster. Josh Schuster back in the New South Wales Cup again. I shouldn't laugh. All right, the market here, $1.85 for Parramatta, $1.95 for the Seagulls, and the overs and unders is 41.5 on what should be a sunny Sydney day. Jared?
There is a rolled gold special bet here in this that we'll get to in a moment, Jimmy. I'm all about the Eagles here. I like what they're building and what I think is in their attack. And the last 2 weeks, they go to the US and score 36 through the Rabbitohs. And we agreed after that game that we thought that they left a few tries out there. It could have been a wider margin. Certainly, again, I thought that was the case last week at Brookvale. I thought they should have kicked away and scored more. What I like about what Seibold's intent is that they're prepared to attack from 70 or 60 or 50 metres away from the try line. There's no more of this let's just bang it forward, kick down, and try and play at the other end. They're prepared to use and play to their strengths. The only change I'd like to see is Turbo's still playing so much through the middle. I'd love to just see a couple of passes wider where I just think he's going to open edges up. They've got strength on either the right or the left. I think their halves are playing very well. They just need a little bit of depth in football, and they've got skill and some attack and combination to hurt teams. And I thought that, you know, the Panthers showed in the second half, yes, last week the Eels had some issues on that left edge, but they're going to have the same problems again this week for mine and down both outside edges. They're going to need Moses and Brown to be at their best, and certainly the big fella in the middle. But I think at CommBank Stadium, where they do play their best football, the Eels also have a very good record, against the Eagles. I'm keen about the Eagles. I'm just very surprised that they were not favourites, Jimmy. I think the rating is a gap between these two, and I thought that the Eagles should have been a 2.5-point favourite. Jimmy, that big fella in the back row on the right edge, big Okalaku, anytime try scorer, $3.40. My goodness, I thought it should have been half that price.
So he v. Lane is going to be fascinating, right? Because Sean Lane's come back and played some really good footy. Certainly last week was a good game for him. My only concern on that, Jared, was Olakau'atu picked up that sort of a knee injury at the back end of that game against the Rabbitohs. So let's presume that he's okay for that. I want to say this. I agree with you. I can't believe that the Seagulls are outsiders for this. I've been so impressed with the football that they've played. They need to somehow stop Tom Trbojevic from doing too much. Because I wanted to see it. I'd love to see a game live because I've only watched both games on television. But there was a point there in that game against the Roosters where he went out on where you want him, wide on the edge on the right hand side, didn't get the ball. And then they went a shift, and I thought, he can't turn up at the other end of the field. And he turned up at the other side of the field. And I'm like, he is traveling so many meters just to inject himself into the game. And it's just got to nullify his effectiveness. So I don't know how you pull someone back, you know, but you need to ride him hands and heels, Tommy T.
But as you say, Jimmy, he's also then going back and doing the wrong plays, in my opinion, through the middle. He doesn't need to do that tough play off the dummy half or that, you know, that third play when we're just trying to get a little bit of yardage.
They love to do him on the fifth play, and they get him quick play of the ball and then bang, kick us on the front foot. He's done that for a couple of years now. Yeah, it's just complete effort everywhere. He's such a guy to watch. Market's got it wrong in my opinion. So we're on the same page on that one. The Sunday game, it's a really interesting one. The Knights up against the Storm. We've already talked about the changes that they've made. So Jack Cogger in, Jackson Hastings out. Jaden Brayley is back onto the bench. Inari Tuaali is back in the side. Greg Marzu is out. He's got a fractured scaphoid, so he's out for 4 to 6 weeks. Jerome Hughes out, along with Cam Munster. So Tyron Wishart is going to partner Jonah Pezet. Christian Welsh sidelined after failing an HIO. So Tepei Moroa is onto the bench. This is a really interesting one. Market says $2.05 outsiders, the Melbourne Storm, up there at McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights, $1.77. Wow, the line is 1.5 and the overs and unders is 40.5.
Well, Jimmy, we talked about the Raiders being 2-0 and going to Christchurch. I mean, the Storm, 2-0, going to the Knights. Yes, they got some outs, but, wow, I'm all over the $2, whatever it is here with the Storm. You just can't be against a Bellamy side, even when their back's against the wall. There's still too much class around what the option they have here. And, you know, with Pappenhausen and Meany at the back doing what they did last week, you know, Pezzett's getting better by the week. Wishart is very serviceable. You know, I'm sure that Harry Grant steps up. Through the middle, they're strong. The one thing we know about the Storm is their attitude and competing and really wanting to roll their sleeves up. And that's some of the stuff that we haven't seen from the Knights through their opening 2 weeks. And, Jimmy, I was listening to some other media yesterday about Hastings being dropped and supposedly he wasn't setting the platform for Ponga. I mean, you can leave me out of that. Ponga, for mine, in the opening 2 weeks, his attitude has been wrong. I just don't think he's shown any sort of leadership or the right attitude, nothing to do with what was happening in front of him. He really needs to stand up, and it's the right week against a very good opponent back at home in full of a full house. But I just worry about them being so inconsistent and in and out of games and the errors that they can concede. I want to be with the Storm. I just know what we get there. It's a recipe that just doesn't make a lot of error, and we'll roll their sleeves up. Storm for mine to win.
Okay. Sua Faalongo onto the bench too. So that's going to be an interesting watch too.
Kane Bradley. There was a mention that he might be, but then he got left out.
Yeah, okay. So
he went with Wishart.
Well, I thought he'd go with Wishart and then put him onto the bench, Faalongo, but maybe he thinks I've just got too many small players there. Totally agree, Ree Ponga. What, like, everyone's out to protect Kalen. Like, oh, he's not getting the platform for his forwards. Oh, he's not getting the service from his halves. Leave me out of that.
Absolutely.
Like, how much service from your half do you need from a kick return? Like this, I find that really interesting, that part of the game. And it's not the game, it's the commentary around the game. But I'm the same, Jared. I'm like, hang on a minute, I'm waiting for you. And yeah, we're not seeing it. Yeah, a close watch on that one. I'm with you. Melbourne Storm plus the 1.5 I'll take at the $1.95. So I'm all over that one too. All right, Jared, you better give us your tips and your best bet for the weekend, please.
Jimmy, I'm with the Panthers at home by 14, the Warriors in Christchurch by 10, the Roosters just maybe by 6. I think the Bulldogs break through by 4. I do think the Dragons can upset at Cogra. The Dragons by 2, the upset for the week. Sharks by 10, 12, 14, 16, I don't know, pick your own number. I do think the Eagles win, and I think they win by a couple of tries. The Eagles by 10. And I think the Storm round out the weekend, Sunday night in Newcastle by 4. For the best, Jimmy, let's go with the Panthers Thursday night. Thought 10.5 was certainly short of my number. Panthers minus 10.5 at $1.90, my best for the week.
Oh, there you go. So the very first game of the weekend, I'm going to make you wait till Sunday for my best bet. The Seagulls at $1.95. There we go. We'll take that the head-to-head. That will be my best bet for the weekend. Now, as you mentioned, fabulous racing, headlined by the Golden Slipper. We've got your favourite, Storm Boy. You love the yarn about the lunch out at Penrith and, you know, parading him around. But you've looked elsewhere, Jared.
I have, Jimmy, and, yeah, great story, that one. Lady walks into a bar with a horse, and then those guys that spent, what was it, $6,500 each for a share, now worth $1.4 million each for their little share, Storm Boy. I have, Jimmy. I thought it was a race in two, and it was Storm Boy and or Switzerland. I just think into a slipper, into a race, all two-year-olds where there can be a little bit of carnage. They're going to be 3 and 4 wide. They'll go helter-skelter. McDonald goes across to the Waller runner here in Switzerland. I'll just take their value at the 420 for mine. But Storm Boy, very, very hard to beat, and just a cracking day at Rose Hill. I used to love going to Slipper Day because it's littered with quality Group 1s and just an outstanding atmosphere, certainly topped off by the Slipper.
Biggest day of the year for Rose Hill. It's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? So so much interest in this. You know, we've got a horse there that what's Storm Boy, $30 million? If it wins this race, it's $50 million.
Well, I think it already is 50, and they're suggesting it goes to 60, Jimmy.
Whoa. Okay. So well done you if you were sitting in the Pioneer Tavern when Gay Waterhouse walked in with the horse. and you're one of the ones who said yes as opposed to the blokes who said no. Jared, I'm going to go head-to-head with you, mate. You can't beat Storm Boy, not with a barrier draw that the way it's played out. I'm going to go with the favourite. Do you want to make it interesting?
Absolutely, Jimmy. Yeah, why don't we just also have the lunch bet? Whoever finishes in front of the other, we'll call that a lunch bet difference as well.
I love it. I love it. Storm
Jimmy,
Boy.
I can't argue against you. He does look one out of the box, and he does look very much like some of the very good quality two-year-olds that have won a slipper previously and for Gay Waterhouse and now Adrian Bott and gone on to be very good superstars at stud, but just a cracking race.
Great markets up for everyone at topsport.com.au. 210 Stormboy after the barrier draw in from $2.15 to 210. And you mentioned Switzerland, number seven there for J-Mac, CJ Waller, $4.20. That'd be Waller's second, and it'd be Gay's eighth golden slipper if they were to win. Just extraordinary.
I love the great lady of racing. She just brings so much enthusiasm to the game.
A walking, talking PR machine is Gay Waterhouse. You may not agree with everything she says, but my word, she can get some column inches. I know that. She's a beauty.
Somebody ended up taking a video of her in the car park walking those two horses around, which Channel 7 somehow have now got hold of, Jimmy, and was released on social media yesterday. It's just cracking in, and it's just Gay to a T, absolutely talking them up. And you know, listen, I was lucky enough in the early days to have a small share and two different horses with her in the stable. And going to the races with Gay was literally like, you know, going to Disneyland for a week, because she would look after you like you were royalty, yet you had, you know, a share and a couple of hairs in the horse, treat you wonderfully, and then talk you up all day. And you walked out of there at the end of the day, your horse probably ran 10th going, I still had a wonderful day.
Always be selling. Always be selling. Very good. Hey, mate, enjoy it. It's a cracking weekend of sport coming up, and I know the racing is superb as well. And we'll be back next week.
Take care, Jimmy.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.